Well, as you might have heard, over the next few weeks, we're going to take a musical journey with Lewis Tillett. Tillett's first solo album, Ego Tripping at the Gates of Hell, was released in 1987. But it wasn't his first album released. His first band, The Wet Taxis, came to epitomise the Australian rock sound of the 1980s. And the band's only album was named From the Archives in 1984. The band folded in 87 and Lewis immediately recorded his debut solo album, Ego Tripping at the Gates of Hell. Welcome to Bob again, Lewis.
Thank you so much, Irene. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. You're looking good, by the way.
Yeah. Sort of life on the road has been good to me. And when I say on the road, I don't mean musically speaking, just travelling.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it was about a year ago we saw you last, I think. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So now we've heard a lot about... we'll talk about the album soon, but we've heard a lot and read a lot about your music and your music career, but not a lot about yourself. So I'd sort of like to delve into the deep dark past, if I may.
Oh, you certainly may, yeah. Because actually to delve into that stuff is really what the music's about.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. So I'm going to go right back to the beginning. So where were you born, in New South Wales?
Yes, I was born in Camperdown, which is very close to the centre of Sydney. And my childhood was, I was schooled in the western suburbs of Sydney, then back to the inner city, yet that was only during school time. My out-of-school time was in the Snowy Mountains of New South Wales.
So, all right.
Had a sort of strangely fragmented life. I tend to think of the Snowy Mountains as home, yet most of my childhood, you know, was in the western suburbs of Sydney, yet schooling in the city.
Right, so primary and high school in the city.
Yeah, the end of primary in the city, and most of high school, I didn't finish high school.
Right.
And
neither did I, if it's any consolation.
Oh, no, it's something that I'm really actually proud of, because when I got to, I think they call it grade 10 now, after school certificate, you know, of just sort of pondering the... what to me seemed the absolute pointlessness,
yes,
of the whole exercise.
Right. Yeah.
I ended up packing it in, and lo and behold, 2 years later, I went to Bankstown TAFE, or Technical College, it was called then, and got my HSC in 9 months.
Oh, right.
And found with other people like Lindsay Fox and Paul Ketting.
Wow.
Also dropped out of school and found that they could still just do it instead of 2 years, in 9 months. And,
right, okay.
Yeah.
So did you have a happy childhood?
It's very difficult to say. If you want to go right back, it's something that I've heard from psychologists, psychiatrists, they call them the night terrors. The house that I lived in was built by my grandfather, and he was very old when my father was born. He in fact was somewhat of a legal genius. He was the first Australian-born Crown solicitor at the age of something like 24 or something. It goes right back to his involved in writing the Constitution. It was a big old farmhouse out there, so it had all the hallmarks of a haunted house. But every night were just horrific nightmares. And the way that I could sort of describe it in a simplistic way is when you see the old vampire movies where everything's going on in the village during the day, everything's fine, but darkness starts to fall and then everyone shuts the lockers, you know, something evil's going to happen. So horrific nightmares right up to the...
Goodness.
Maybe the age of 11 or 12.
Right.
And then a very disjointed life. Again, living in the western suburbs but going to school in the city, knew nobody locally. And so I was, yeah, and then holidays in the Snowy Mountains. So that gave me very much a loner, but not in a depressive sort of way. I really started to delve into my own thoughts and spending a lot of time in the bush, in the Snowy Mountains, and in nature.
Right.
Helped me going... not go completely crazy. That came
well,
later.
Well, I think it's really important for all children to spend time in the country. You know, if kids are born in the city, it's the only life they know. Then, you know, I really think parents should make an effort to get them into the country and spend some time in the country.
Yeah, yeah. I would say if I was to single out anything that I was most grateful for in my childhood, it's that aspect.
Right. And so would you say that anything that happened in your childhood had a big influence on you as an adult? I sound like a psychologist.
Not at all, because this is psychology stuff, and it's funny because I've sat through. We'll get to that maybe in later programs,
yes.
But a lot of counselling and a lot of groups, and
yes.
and a common theme that comes up in those groups is people saying, "Oh God Almighty, doesn't everyone learn that when they're 4 or 6 or something?" There's people 50, 60, 70, 80 years of age, but now I've got thrown the question again. So.
Well, if anything that happened in your childhood had a big influence on you in your adult life, is what the question was. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was very much being a loner, I would have to say,
right.
but not in a isolated way, because I enjoyed. I can't say my own company, but I enjoyed the company of observing the surroundings,
yes.
of the bush.
Did you have brothers and sisters? Or?
Yes, I had an older brother and a younger sister, but again, because of this fragmented life, once we reached early teens, we never really crossed paths.
Yes. Oh. Okay, so when did music seriously begin to shape the career path for you?
As a career path, I'd say it never actually has. And it's something that I've just done
right.
reluctantly as a young child at the
right.
age of about 4.
Mm-hmm.
That song, Persephone's Dance, is one of the first songs that I ever wrote.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, as
wow.
a young child. And,
yes. I mean, I chose that at random, really. I mean, I liked it, and so I thought it was a nice lead-in, yeah.
And well, that song, Persephone's Dance, my knowledge of Greek mythology is not good enough, so I'm not going to be too specific, but fundamentally the story of Persephone, the goddess who was taken down to Hades, to the underworld, but when she went, she took some pomegranate seeds or fruit, and then when she was rescued from Hades, she basically had to pay that back. So it's a balance between night and day, and half of the life in the underworld and half of the life in paradise, and maybe in some ways that does describe my youth, if you say if there's any one particular
yes.
thing. It was a dichotomy.
Right. Now, your debut single with the Wet Taxis was a song called Come On,
mm-hmm.
which was originally released by 60s Australian group The Atlantics.
Yes.
I think I remember it. It was a pretty rocky sort of number, wasn't it?
It was, and it's interesting you remember it, because The Atlantics are known almost entirely for their instrumentals. They, you know, pioneered
right,
the Australian
yes.
surfing sound. And
yes.
Famous songs like Bombora that, you know, many people would know, and certainly if you put it on, they would hear that guitar twang, surfy sound, sort of like a anthem for surfies of that time. And that came about because what Taxis had started off purely is the our musical idea, or what we were trying to achieve, was simply to get a reaction, positive or negative. And and we'd recorded an album before that that almost no one knows about. It was called Taxidermy.
Ah.
And it was on a label, and this sort of historical significance to it, called Terse Tapes. And just noise. It's
right.
not white noise. It's just
yeah.
noise.
Right.
And the first review that we ever got was in the Financial Times, or the Australian Financial Review, because we were the first, we pioneered Australian independent music, not because we'd read about it, or because we simply said, well, there's these record companies, they seem to want to take everything off you and give nothing back, and not only that, often be obstructionist in people who want to hear the music. So I thought, well, actually, you can just get a cassette player and manufacture your own and just distribute them. So we were actually Australia's first
wow.
Independent band.
And, yeah, but that particular song is a far cry from the music we've come to know of Lewis Tillett today, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah. But the spirit is still very much the same.
All right. Well, we'll start talking about Ego Tripping at the Gates of Hell, and I'll play a track from that before we get into it, and that is On Your Way Down, and we can talk about that in a minute. But you just reminded me, when you were talking about the Atlantics and that surfing era, I did want to ask you, I'll just backtrack a little bit, what were your interests as a kid? I mean, were you into surfing, or what were you into?
Being the Stone Mountains, snow skiing in winter. My parents built a house in Jindabyne when the old township was flooded, so I don't know when that was, 1966, 67, something like that. Before that, as young children, would go up to Threadbow, and my father had been a member of Crackenback Lodge, which was the first ski lodge in Threadbow.
Right.
And he was a keen skier from his university days, so back in the 30s. And other activities, sailing. I learned to sail. I mean,
I picked up on that of some of your albums. There's a lot of songs that relate to the sea. So that's what that was all about.
So summer on the water and winter in the ski fields.
All right. And the other, just another quick question I wanted to ask you. How old were you when you were with the Wet Taxis, when that first single came out?
Right, well, Wet Taxis started off as actually the idea of two brothers, Simon and Tim Nucky, who were the bass player and the lead guitarist of the band. And they started off with the noise, the experimental. You know, it's given more polite terms these days as an industrial music, industrial punk.
Yes.
The punk thing very much was part of it. And they had a band, Wet Taxis, where the name came from, which was from a Salvador Dali installation. Because once again, the early punk was very much, in some ways, an art movement. And the Salvador Dali installation was called Rainy Day Taxi, and it became Wet Taxis. And from there, you know, the rise of the independent label and independent bands. Every pub had a band on. You know, no fire restrictions, underage drinking everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it was before the Royal Commission into all the dodgy behaviour that was going on in pubs. And, you know, Queensland had their particular reputation, and New South Wales had its. And, you know, basically, Wet Taxis, we couldn't play that racket anymore. We played something like two shows in 3 years and got the plug pulled and told never come back, ever.
Right.
And so then we started doing covers, and we thought, you know, that this sort of 60s psychedelic, again, punk, mostly American, a few bands like the Hoodoo Gurus, then called La Hoodoo Guru, and Lime Spiders were playing that sort of music, and but we thought we'll do an Australian Australian cover.
Okay, so begins the journey. Mm-hmm. All right, let's have a listen to On the Way Down from Ego Tripping at the Gates of Hell.
Sunrise, the sunset. Since the beginning, it hasn't changed yet. People fly, begin to lose sight. Can't see very clearly when you're in flight. Well, it's high time that you find the same people that you use on the way up. You might meet up on your way on down. Vintage wine from the year 62.
It's your thing, it's your thing, it's your thing that pleases you. You're to be found when you cross town. You think it's an honor, girl, just to be seen with you round. Well, it's high time that you find the same people that you use on the way up. You might meet up on your way on down. You think the sunrise is set just for you? Well, the same sunrise is set and shine for other folks too. Well, I don't mind you running round. Myself would even lie just to find a little higher ground. Well, it's high time that you find the same dudes that you use on the way up. You might meet up on your way on down.
Your Way Down from Lewis Tillett's album, his first solo album, Ego Tripping at the Gates of Hell. And Lewis is with me now. Let's talk about the album, Lewis. Let's talk about the title.
Okay, Ego Tripping at the Gates of Hell. It's a title that when the album came out, a lot of our journalists commented on that. They thought it was great. It's like most of the titles, can mean many things, and it has certain meanings for me. A very simple one was being my first album. It was also the day of all these people in big bands saying, I'm the lead singer, I can go out and I can do one on my own, and they flopped disastrously.
Yeah.
So, you know, ego tripping at the gates of hell, you know.
Okay.
So I'm big ego trip, but yeah, watch out what you're doing, and which is sort of nice after that, on your way down. And but also, it's has a slight reference to some earlier stuff of the psychedelic of Syd Barrett. It has the same meter of Pipers of the Gates at the Gates of Dawn, which was the very first Pink Floyd album that Syd Barrett was very much part of before his difficulties. And an interesting thing was only a couple of years ago there was an album by a band called The Flaming Lips, number one album in America, titled Ego Tripping at the Gates of Hell. And people have asked me, oh, so where did you get that title from? Is it a William Burroughs quote or something like that? I said, no, it's a Lewis Tillett quote. And I've since found that mutual friends in music who have crossed paths, so it obviously subliminally stayed in their head, but no, there's never been an acknowledgement for it. But I've no problem about that. I take pleasure in the fact that it's strong enough that it's stuck in someone's mind, but no one knows where it came from.
Well, it is something that would stick in your mind. It's a good title. Yeah, it is. All right. So how old would you have been about when this came out? Is that too hard a question?
Well, I don't mind.
Early 20s, late teens?
It would have been mid to late 20s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Wet Taxis was had been a big part, and in between Wet Taxis and this was actually where the lineup, all of the players I'd say who helped me make this record, played in another band which was called Paris Green, and Paris Green was sort of based on the old Blue Note jazz days of people would finish their concert and then go to a bar that would be up until dawn. And play music that they really wanted to, rather than the strict format that was in their set. So it was a continuing floating lineup of people literally sitting in. And it was, the idea came from Jeffrey Wegener, the drummer from Laughing Clowns. So Paris Green really didn't ever record as such. Lots of bootlegs, live recordings and that. But had this group of musicians, so When Wet Taxis was had really run its course, and I was also getting very much tired of being stuck down, stuck in a one particular sound.
Yes.
Called on the people from Paris Green, and there was a ready-made band, if you like, and so getting the players was easy, and they very very wonderfully put my sketches of songs into a pretty strong performances, I think.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time today. I just wanted to. I read on one of the. I read that the album relied on a brooding intensity for its emotional effect. Would that be right?
I think that's actually not too bad a way of putting it, because it doesn't rely on intellect.
Mm.
It relies on internal stuff, and
right,
you can
yes.
take that back to, you know, what one may draw from the conversations about the childhood. You know, moving from place to place, very fractured. A lot of internal dialogue, but not wanting to keep that to myself. So brooding, but wanting, not brooding for its own sake, rather a frustration of wanting to share what's going on within me,
yes.
but to no one in particular.
Yes.
Anyone who's prepared to listen, and music was a great vehicle to do that.
All right, so you're going to come in again next week.
Yes.
And next week we are going to dwell on the second solo album. And that is A Cast of Aspersions, and I think from memory that came out in about 1990.
My memory of the dates of the releases of, because
yeah, 1990 is what I've got. So
right.
So we'll talk about that next week, but right now, and we'll talk a bit more about your journey then, as we journey through the albums and your life.
Lovely. I look
yeah.
forward to it.
So thanks for coming in. And
pleasure.
We are running out of time, but we will go out with the first track from the album, and it is Trip to Kalu Kibar.
Yeah, and Flaming Lips. Take a note.
What's that?
I said the Flaming Lips, take a note.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Okay.
Sound like the sea and the sound and the stars.
sky while the sound of the shovels was